Morning, brethren, as we have gathered together to break bread this morning and to remember the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I'd like to spend a few moments contemplating the last words of Jesus as he hung on the cross. And we'll be reading this morning from John chapter 13, starting at verse 30, where it says, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." So our focus today will be on that phrase that Jesus used there, "It is finished." If you go back and look at the lexicons, you'll get various definitions of the word, but primarily it means to bring to an end. It's a completing or a perfecting. And the thought underneath it is not merely to end a task, but also to bring it to its perfection and its destined goal. And so this is what Jesus uttered as his last words on the cross. Historians record for us that this exact phrase was used in several circumstances in the first century, and all of these have appropriate usage as we compare that use to how Jesus was using it on the cross. And so we're going to look at some of these uses and compare that specific use at that time to what Jesus was meaning when he was on the cross. The first example we have is that when a sacrifice at that time was examined, and the examiner would go through everything, whether it's a sheep or a goat or a bird, he would go and look at the proposed sacrifice, and when he had finished its examination and determined that it was worthy and met all the criteria, he would say, "It is finished," and the examination was completed, and it was a worthy sacrifice. In like manner, in 1 Peter chapter 1, we read there, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." And also in Hebrews chapter 9, we read there, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And so we see this is a very appropriate analogy, this examination of a sacrifice, and once determined worthy and fitting, it was said, "It is finished," because Jesus truly was a perfect sacrifice that was required for our sins. We also read from historians that when a debt was finally paid off and the final payment was collected, the collector or the banker would use the phrase, "It is finished." In other words, it's all completed. And similarly, about Jesus, we read the following in Hebrews chapter 2. "Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." And we see that same word propitiation used in Romans chapter 3, where it says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood." Now, that's a word we don't use very often in our day-to-day speech, propitiation, but it means a very specific thing, that which is required to appease or to make reparation for, to recompense, or to make restitution for. And so what a beautiful analogy for Jesus that as he hung on the cross, he uses that phrase, "It is finished," because he knew that by giving his life, he was paying the debt for us to God. And so it is a very good analogy for us to think about that as "it is finished," our debts were paid before our God and Father. And finally, historians record for us that at the conclusion of a battle or a major military campaign, when the final skirmish was won and the final enemy was put down, that the conqueror would then say, "It is finished. I've completed my task. I've got this done." Jesus, in like manner, uses this phrase to say that "I fulfilled my mission. I have fought the battle, and I have won." And in that, he conquered sin and he conquered death. In Hebrews chapter 4, we read, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And then in 1 Corinthians 15, speaking of this victory, Paul writes, "So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.'" So again, what an appropriate use of the phrase, "It is finished," to celebrate and recognize the victory that Jesus had over sin and death. So as we remember Jesus' body and his blood this morning, and we recall his death and what it means to us, let's think about all the context that was in that simple phrase, "It is finished." He absolutely completed God's mission for him to perfect completion. He was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He paid our debts, and he conquered sin and death and gave us the victory. It is finished. Now we'll take the Lord's Supper.